So let's turn to John chapter 7, beginning in verse 45. I covet an interest in your prayers tonight that the Lord might help. Last night, as we looked in John's gospel and we began to think about if the Apostle John were here and he were to try to describe to you who is Jesus and why you need him, he would say that, hey, here's some words that I heard him say in person. You know, as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are founded on apostolic doctrine, on the truth of Scripture. And so if he was here, he would say, I heard Jesus say this. I touched him. I handled him. I beheld him in all of his glory. He was the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And he said that, John said, I heard him say one day that I am the bread of life, that all those that are hungering and thirsting, that have these cravings and longings, if they'll just come to Jesus, you'll never thirst or never hunger again. But John had another theme that he liked to write about often, and that was this contrast. As we wake up in the morning, we see the sun come up and the night is dispelled. And then later in the evening when the sun goes down, the night comes back. And there's this contrast that the Apostle John often writes about in his letters, the difference between the light and the dark. There's a great difference between the two, and we understand that. And in the Scriptures, as we understand this theme, we understand that light resembles things that are holy, things that are right, and things that are true. So the light represents things that are holy and right and true. The darkness represents those things that are unholy, wrong, and false. And so as we gather here tonight, you and I are either a child of the light and of the day, is what the Scripture says, that God's people are children of the light. They're children of the day. And we're children of the day awaiting that endless day where there'll be no need for the sun, moon, or stars, but we'll dwell in the presence of God's glory forever and ever. So you're either in that standing tonight, or you're a child of the darkness or of the night. And you're on that road to hell, which will end in outer darkness. So I want to bring this thought and this thing to your attention about the difference between the light and the dark. You may be here tonight and you might be searching for truth. Because those that are searching for truth are actually in the dark and they're looking for the light of truth. As you think about many of the colleges and universities, many times you'll see on college and university their seal of their the emblem of their school. It'll be a lamp with a flame in it, symbolizing this knowledge that you need to gain or need to have. I'll tell you tonight, there is a knowledge that you need to have that the Scripture says that you might come to the knowledge of the truth, that you might have light in your soul in the very depths of who you are. And God is able to do that. So if you're here and you're searching for the truth, you've came to the right place. You may be here tonight and you have felt and you're walking and wandering in the darkness of sin, and perhaps you've been living in the shadows of shame. We all know what that's like. I would say that in my own life there was a day when I was living in the shadow of shame, and I was ashamed of Jesus. And I was ashamed of His words, because I definitely didn't want to humble myself before Him and declare that I was in the shadows of shame and I needed Him to reach down and bring me into the light. I did not want to admit that. I would run from that. I didn't want to tell anybody else that I was lost. Many years throughout my life that I wandered in the shadows of shame. And actually, I can account for about 13 years that I wandered in the shadows of shame. Because I'd gone to the front of the church and I told people that I got saved, but I really just told them that to get them off my back, and I was still lost. And it wasn't until I was about 22 that Jesus brought me into His glorious light. And He gave me something on the inside that I didn't have to be ashamed any longer, but He actually covered me with His precious blood. He took away that shame and that stain of sin. So you may be here in that regard, or you might just be here and you might be afraid that you know you're in the dark, but you're afraid to come to the light because you know that God is going to expose some things in your heart. You might be here tonight and you might have already come to the knowledge of the truth. You may be here tonight and you're already walking in righteousness and you enjoy the light of the Father's countenance shining upon you. You enjoy being in the presence of God, but regardless of what state you're in, I want us to engage in this scripture, this set of scriptures here that the Apostle John has written to us with his thought this evening on Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Let's read in the 45th verse of John chapter 7. We'll read down to the 12th verse of chapter 8. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have you not brought him?" They're trying to find Jesus. The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who know not the law are cursed." Nicodemus saith unto them, "He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he does?" They answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And every man went unto his own house. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a certain woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those that are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus Christ, the light of the world. As we consider these scriptures before us, I want us to begin by considering the blindness of the world. The blindness of the world. The world is in darkness. As the Apostle John would say, I believe, one of the last verses in his first letter, he would say, the whole world lies in wickedness and moral corruption, a picture of darkness. We'll go on to consider that the brilliance of this light, that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world, that whosoever shall follow after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And then finally, I want us to conclude tonight by considering the blessings of walking in the light. Is there anyone in here tonight can say there are blessings of being exposed of who you are and what you've done, but to know that even in that exposure, there is one that has made atonement. There is a covering for that sin, that He has made you a child of light and a child of the day. Aren't there blessings to be out of that darkness and into His marvelous light? Is it a blessing to be a member of the Lord's church where you can come in and say, I've set my candle on the candlestick that all the world might see that I'm following the light of the world, and I want the world to see the testimony of my life that God is real. He's real in my soul. He has done a work of grace in me. So let's engage this passage and see what is going on. As you back up into verse 45, Jesus has been speaking the truth to these officers, and they recognize the power of His words. Do you notice what they said? That the officers were trying to catch Jesus. They were trying to find fault in Jesus. They wanted to arrest Him and have Him slain, in essence. But as people went out there to capture Him, they said, no man has ever spake like this man. Well, if you consider Him saying that, I am the bread of life, if you will come unto me, you shall never hunger and you shall never thirst, that who else can say words like that? And it actually carry the power of truth with it, that it is the absolute truth, that it is pure, it is holy, it is accurate. Just like when those men came to arrest Jesus and they said, who is this Jesus of Nazareth? And He said, I am He. And they went backward because of the power of His words. And so they said, we went there to capture Him, but I've never heard a man speak like this. I'm mesmerized by these words of this truth that He's speaking. I don't even know what to say to the power of His words. There's something about Jesus that just draws me in, that I don't understand it. I can't figure it out, but there's something I don't have that He's speaking about that I need. And I need to come to that light, but I don't know about Him. So the Pharisees were concerned as Jesus was teaching in the temple. I think it's funny. They said, no, "There's no. I've never heard a man talk like this. I don't know what you think about Him, but Jesus, you go listen to Him for yourself. There's something about that name. There's something about those words that are alive, that speak, and they grip just like the sun rays as they shine across the sky and they go into our homes and they break into fragments. Something about the Word of God was shining those sun rays into their hearts. It was exposing sin. It was exposing the hope of the world, and they just couldn't put their finger on it. The Pharisees, as they were there, they asked this ironic question in verse 47. Then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? So they're thinking that you're out of your mind. You're deceived. What do you think about this man? This man is breaking all these laws that we have established. And it wasn't those that were coming to Jesus that were deceived. It was the Pharisees that, as they tried to stand in their own self-righteousness, they were going about to establish their own righteousness. They were trying to get right in their own eyes. And they were asking everybody else, are you deceived? And they were actually the ones that were self-deceived. They thought that they could be good enough. They thought they could keep the law, but the law was never there to show us that how good that we are. It was actually there to show us our great need of a Savior, that we haven't put God first every day in our lives, and we haven't kept all these commandments. We have broken them all, but they had in their minds that we have got it together and we have a righteousness of our own that might get us to heaven. But Jesus said to them, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. They're walking in darkness. Nicodemus was there and in this discussion. And he says, can we judge this man before we hear him or know what he does? The Pharisees were asking, are you a Galilean too? Or are you on his side as well? Because the Pharisees had this growing animosity against Jesus. They hated the light. They hated Jesus because of their darkened, sinful hearts. They had judged Jesus and they wanted to rule over Him because they themselves were walking in darkness, so much so that they wanted to plot against Jesus. And they said, can any good thing come out of Galilee? Can anything good come out of Galilee? Like the Pharisees, we've all been in their boat in darkness. If you're here tonight and you're unsaved, I want you to hear the description of what God's Word says about those who walk in darkness. In Ephesians 5 and 8 it says, "For you were sometimes darkness." Jesus would say that in Matthew chapter 5, how great is that darkness? He's speaking about before you're saved, the lights are completely shut off on the inside of you. There is no light in you except that God would put a light in you. It says you are darkness, but for those that have come to know the Lord, He says, "But now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Paul would write in the Roman letter that not only were we darkness to the core, but we did works of darkness. The Apostle John would say that we walked in darkness. In 1 John chapter 2 and 11, he said, "But he that hates his brother is in darkness." When we don't love one another like we should, we are in darkness. John would let one, he'd also write that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know, so often we don't want to come and be vulnerable and expose our hearts for what they are, because if we really let everybody see the thoughts that we have in our mind on a daily basis, we'd realize there's a lot more darkness that God is trying to drive out of us that is still in there. But we love darkness. Men love darkness. John would say in chapter 12, verse 46, "I am come a light into the world that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness." Do you know that there are many tonight that are living in darkness? There's darkness all around. That's the reason why the world, many are looking for hope. They're looking for light. They're looking for a new life to come out of the shadows of shame, to come out from under the darkness of guilt, the weight of that guilt in their lives. But those that haven't come to Jesus, it says the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Perhaps you're here tonight and you're blind. When you're blind, you grope. You grope and you try to find your way and you stumble, but you don't really know your way. You don't know how to get there or where to go. If you remain in that blind state, if you do not seek out this light of the world, the Scripture says it's only going to get darker for you. It's only going to get darker. God had sent a plague, if you remember, there in the days of Moses going down to Egypt. And God, in His great demonstration of His power, He sent plague after plague after plague after He'd already told Moses that I am. I want you to go down there to deliver my people. And one of the plagues that God sent to the children or to the nation of Egypt was the plague of darkness. And you know how dark it was? It said it was still light in the land of Goshen where God's people were at. Oh, what a picture of the church tonight. That there's light in this house. There's the glory of God in this house. But oh, there's darkness all around us. And it's a darkness that in that plague, it was a darkness that could be felt. The blackness of the night. But if you continue to wander in the darkness and don't come to Jesus, the Scripture says that there's coming a day that you will be cast into outer darkness. I don't know how dark that is, but I can only imagine that if dark is dark and it's outer darkness, it is darker than you ever want to be. It's so dark that you'll be able to feel the darkness and feel the hopelessness and feel the absence of the presence of God. Oh, how sad to be blind, to know you're blind, and to do nothing about it. The blindness of the world. Blindness could also symbol ignorance, being unlearned. But as we looked at the Scripture last night, the Father will teach you. The Father will show you. If you'll come, He will show you. He will lead you into His glorious light. And I'll tell you, when you pass from darkness to light, you'll know it. There's a distinction between the two. Yeah, there's not a gray area right there. When you pass from light into the dark, when God's light shines in you, you will know it. Let's consider the brilliance of this light. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." John recorded for us in 1 John 1:5 that says, "God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." As we consider the light and think about what this light represents the divine truth. It represents the revelation of God, that God is light and Him is no darkness at all. And I want you to imagine this as we go back even to the beginning of time. On that first day of creation, it says, "Let there be light." And there was light. And I hope that you're reading your Bibles very closely, because you might say, well, the sun began to shine that day. The moon began to reflect the sun that day, and the stars were shining bright that day. But if you read your Bible very carefully, you'll find out that that wasn't until day 4. So you're wondering, where did that light come from that God was shining into the world? It was the light of His knowledge, the light of His glory. And we can look out even on creation and say, "Oh, how great Thou art! Oh, what a God we serve! Oh, how majestic You are!" He said, "I've infused into my creation the glory and the knowledge of myself." Because if you remain in darkness and blind to your sin, creation is going to come to the stand one night. And you may say, "I don't have a witness. I haven't had anybody tell me about who Jesus is or who God is." I'll tell you, God has given every man the revelation of his own creation. And one of these days, they're going to come to the stand and say, "Hey, did you not look up at the stars? Did you not look up at the sky? Did you not look down on the ground and see those bugs and that green grass and the symmetry of it all around you?" That God is speaking that, "Look at me, look at me, look at me all around me." But yet you chose to remain in that dark night of the soul. He is holy. God is holy. Without a single taint of sin within Him, He is morally pure and blameless and good. So good and so holy is He, and so brilliant and radiant is He, that the angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Oh, the light of God, how great He is tonight. But as it doesn't stop there, He's also all-powerful. Because it says that light came into the world, but the darkness comprehended it not. What He's saying in essence is that no matter where you put light, it always conquers the darkness. Even if you're one individual in your workplace, that if you're saved by God's grace, you may say, "Brother, I work in a difficult workplace and I've got ungodly people all around me." I'll tell you that if you allow God to fill you with His strength and His power, He'll bring that light into that workplace. And He said, the world, the darkness cannot overcome it. It cannot overtake it. And God might have you in one of those places just so that you might let your light shine. Let's go back to what these Pharisees were saying. "Can a prophet come out of Galilee?" As you look at Isaiah chapter 9, he tells us, this is quoted by Matthew, he says, "Nevertheless," in verse 1 of Isaiah 9, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall be such as was in her vexation, when at the first He lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations." What he's saying is that Galilee, that area, was connected to Assyria and Babylon, and it was a place that was setting in the shadow of darkness, that they were going to be the first ones to be overtaken. And here's what Isaiah saw. He said, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath a light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and the fuel of fire. Now you may not understand the depths of that, but what I do want you to see in this is that there was coming a day where Galilee, who had been sitting in darkness, was going to see a great light. Oh, what a great light was going to be manifested and shown. And as Isaiah is seeing this, he says, those that dwell in the shadow of death, those that dwell in the misery of captivity, will have the light shine upon them. Now, I want you to know, they were concerned about physical captivity, but I'll tell you that there are many that are sitting in the shadow of death, and they are held captive by the chains of their own sin. They're sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death, in the fear of death, even tonight as they gather here among us. But oh, I tell you that Isaiah saw that Abraham's seed was going to be multiplied and God's faithfulness to His people was going to bring incredible joy. And He gives us a picture of the joy of harvest and the joy of when you go out and you win a battle or a war and you bring back the spoil. I'll tell you that, oh, God's light has been shining ever since Jesus stepped foot out of Nazareth. Actually, if you back it up, He's been shining ever since He stepped out of heaven and He walked here on this earth. And He's been multiplying the seed of Abraham, because it says in the Scriptures that if you're here tonight, you can be a child of God. You can be a seed of Abraham. And oh, how the joy of God will be multiplied in the salvation of your soul. Because it says if just one sinner repents here tonight, just one sinner repents before the Lord tonight, that there'll be joy outbreaking in heaven. I'll tell you, it'll also outbreak here in this church house as the light of God shines into your heart. We can say, testify to the glory of God, how great you are, that not only do you work in creation, but oh, how you work in redeeming sinners like you and me. He goes on to write about this great day of peace that is coming. Isaiah sees it, and he sees that the darkness of oppression will be broken. He sees this as he's looking forward. I'll tell you that the night that I got saved, the darkness of the oppression of my own sin, those chains that held me bound and held me captive, they were broken off. And oh, being an enemy of God was no more. You know, tonight you can be reconciled to God. Instead of being an enemy of His, you can be His very own. Who did Isaiah see that would shine out of Galilee? And I want you to hear this just for a moment. He says, for unto us a child is born. We usually read this around Christmas. But he's speaking of the great light that's coming into the world. He said, for unto us a child is born, that there will be one that's born by natural descent. But he says, unto us a son is given. There's going to be one that's going to be sent from heaven that the Father sends to us. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Listen to what he says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah said, I see one that's born of a woman. But I also see one that's sent from on high. And this one that is sent from on high, that he's also going to have the government upon his shoulders. He's going to be here to establish a kingdom. Not only is he going to establish a kingdom, but he's going to sit on the throne of David, and he's going to be a king that will reign forever and ever. And how is his kingdom going to be established? It's going to be established in justice and righteousness. How do we know it's going to come true? It says, the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. That when God makes the promise, He keeps it. So let's roll this forward to the days of John's writing. John the Baptist tells us in the first chapter, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 6. The same came for a witness. What did John bear witness to? He came to bear witness of the light. Why is it important that you know that Jesus is the light of the world? He says in this 7th verse, He says that all men through Him might believe. Does that include you? He said all men through Jesus, the light of the world, they might believe. And He says here that He was not that light. John the Baptist was not that light, but He was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. The eternal Son of God, the light, was in the beginning, in relationship with the Father. He had made all things, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And He goes on, and He came to His own received Him not. You see, the Pharisees were in darkness. They were the blind leading the blind. They thought they could find their way by themselves. You know, honestly, that's really one of the hardest things about being saved, is that we think we can find our own way when we need God to light the path and to show us. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. John the Baptist bore witness to Him. The Apostle John said He is the true light. Isaiah spoke of the light springing up from Galilee, and Matthew attested to the same thing. You may say, preacher, how can I know the blessings of walking in the light? Jesus came preaching, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, if you're not following me, you're walking in darkness. This world is a dark place. He came into His own received Him not. The creation didn't even see His creator. But He said that, later here He says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You know, tonight you can believe on His name. You can come into the light. And He says here, which were born not of blood. That means not by natural birth. You can't be born again. You can't be saved. You can't come into the light by natural birth. He goes on to say, nor of the will of man. That not because somebody else wants you to be saved. Nor, He says, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You must be born from above. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know tonight that if you would seek after Him, that He would take you out of the power of darkness and bring you into the kingdom of His dear Son. As Peter would say, that He would bring you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's able to bring you, as we think about light, He's able to bring you to a knowledge of the truth. God would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, that Jesus is the light. He's able to make you holy. He's able to make you pure. You might say, preacher, how could He do that? How could He make someone that is in darkness pure and holy? I can tell you that the light of the world would go to the cross. And there, in the dark hour of His soul, oh, how dark it was, that so dark that the sun would reverence the Lord. Creation would bow down before the Creator, giving testimony that this is a dark hour as a Son of God who was once clothed in the majesty of light, was shrouded by darkness. And all humanity thought that they were going to get rid of Him. And they took Him down, and He said, it is finished, and He gave up the ghost, and He voluntarily offered up His life, and they laid Him in the grave, and the world thought, darkness thought that He'd won, but oh, I'll tell you that darkness can never overtake the light. And on that third day, the light of the glory of God rose up from that grave. I'll tell you that no man can overpower God. And tonight, this same God that I tell you about, that I testify of His great light, that says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, and I'll close with this verse. Here's what God says He's able to do for you tonight. Here's what He's able to do for you tonight. He says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. What is He speaking of? He's speaking of the same powerful God who said on the first day of creation, let there be light. He's speaking of the glory and the power of God as we look at creation and we see, wow, You said let there be light, and there was light. Notice what God can do for you tonight. He says, hath shined in our hearts. The same light that God shone into creation, He will shine into your dark heart. He will say, let there be light. He will say, let the lights be turned on. And I'll tell you, you'll no longer walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. And He says to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. If you'll follow Him, you won't walk in darkness. Oh, but you'll have eternal life. The glory of life. You'll see it. You'll see it like Nicodemus who didn't understand. But oh, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. But somewhere between chapter 3 and chapter 19 or 20, oh, Nicodemus got down on his knees and he realized that, oh, I'm darkened. I'm in my sin. I cannot see. I need to be able to see, Lord. And he got down in a shape like, oh, blind Bartimaeus did. I'm telling you, the Lord is passing through here tonight. And I want to encourage you to be like blind Bartimaeus. He heard that Jesus was on the scene, that Jesus was passing by. And the other night I was reading this story to my boys before bed, and I said, blind Bartimaeus was there and he heard that Jesus was coming. He thought, this might be my only chance. And I said, blind Bartimaeus began to cry out, oh, have mercy on me, thou son of David. Oh, have mercy on me, thou son of David. And everybody said to him that was in that crowd, just be quiet, quiet down. And in the bedroom the other night I cried out a little bit louder that, oh, blind Bartimaeus said, have mercy on me, thou son of David. Have mercy on me, thou son of David. Oh, and then he heard these glorious words that the Master calleth for you. And he came right there face to face with Jesus. Tonight you might be able to come face to face with Jesus. And just like blind Bartimaeus, the Lord asked him, oh, blind Bartimaeus, what would you like for me to do for you? Blind Bartimaeus said, just let me see. Just let me see. Do you want to see that light? He's willing to shine. He's shining bright tonight. All you got to do is come. Turn from your dark ways and come to the light tonight, I beg of you. I beg of you, if you're here tonight and you're being convicted by the Spirit of God, I beg of you to come. I beseech you. With all that is in me, I implore you, whatever word I can say, that if God is dealing with your soul, come to the light as we get a song and sing.